Welcome to season 3 of The Skinny. I'm your host, Shazan. So many things happening all at the same time. Incredible conversations and movements that have been ignited and reignited. Much to learn and even relearn. This season on The Skinny, we dig deeper, cutting the fat and getting right down to the nitty-gritty on topics that impact our lives. I'm so excited to highlight amazing stories and facilitate impassioned voices and conversations, eager to share, learn, grow, and evolve with you into more amazing, enlightened, and empowered souls. So come on, honey bunnies, let's do this. Hi, everyone. It's Shazan. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Skinny with Shazan. Before I go any further, have you taken a moment yet today to remind yourself of how amazing and resilient you are? If you haven't gotten around to it yet, and no one else has told you, allow me to do the honors. You are pretty amazing. Here you are making it through another day and another week, navigating the unknown during a pandemic and making waves while you're at it. Even if things aren't going exactly how you want it to, or circumstances don't look exactly how you wish it would, you're also quite resilient. According to the American Psychological Association, resilience is the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or even significant sources of stress, which right now, we would say, is our 2020. So time for reflection and conscious decision-making is so important, and now more than ever. And more, we are wanting to be sure that our consumption, along with how and where we are spending our dollars, is also matching up with our value system. We all wear clothes of some sort every day. Hopefully. And society's demand for it is steadily on the rise. Production of garments have increased tremendously, and that since the early 90s, along with the birth of what we now know today as fast fashion. So this cycle has resulted in careless production system to feed the needs of our endless consumption, and we all play a part in this. What we hope is that we're playing a positive part. So today, I'm going to highlight a positive role that we can all play in minimizing our personal footprints in a time of overconsumption. And this is something we can also have fun doing. So that is fantastic. It's the brilliance of thrifting and its connection to sustainability. With me on the show today is the beautiful Tyler Chanel, an ethical fashion model, creator of Thrifts and Tangles, and it's an ethical lifestyle and fashion blog and a respected and rising voice in the sustainability community. Her platform is a resource abounding with information and tips on thrifting, embracing your natural hair, and sustainability. So I said all that, but I'm also going to mention that she is the sweetest and one of the sweetest people that you will ever meet. So let's jump right in. The conversation starts now. Tyler, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. That intro was amazing. I am blown away.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Let's jump right into who Tyler is. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So I am an avid thrift shopper. I feel like that's very much a part of my identity now. But I really am. I love thrifting. I love shopping sustainably. I love blogging. I'm originally from Las Vegas, or I was born in Chicago, raised in Vegas, and now I live in LA, where I had the pleasure to meet you and so many other amazing women in this space. And I started my blog as a way to encourage others to give thrifting, sustainability, and their natural selves a chance. And it just kind of grew into this amazing community that I could never have imagined. I've learned so much in this space. I've connected with so many amazing people, and I love to spread my love for thrifting. And I love getting messages from people who are like, I never knew you can find these things at the thrift store. Like, I went to the thrift store for the first time ever because of you. And like, that just warms my heart.
Yes. I mean, it is amazing. When did you start thrifting? It's amazing. Thrifting is amazing. When did this start for you?
So technically thrifting started when I was like 5 because, my mom used to take us thrifting all the time. Like, my mom is an avid thrift shopper as well. And she used to take us to Goodwill and to garage sales all the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't love thrifting, but I didn't hate it then. It was just kind of like, my mom likes to shop a lot. So I'm like, are we done yet? After like being a 5-year-old, you know, I wasn't that into clothes until I was a little older. So I really got into thrifting when I think it was in high school. It must have been my junior year of high school. They opened a Savers down the street from my house. And so my mom, of course, was like, ooh, let's go to Savers. And my aunt really enjoyed thrifting too. So we would go on like every weekend. It would be like our hangout day. My mom, my aunt, and I, we would go thrifting all day and then we'd go eat. And then it was just a really fun day to hang out. So that's, I would say I started when I was 5, but I started to love it when I was like, I don't know, 16, 17.
Okay. Because that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Like, when did you actually start appreciating the thrifting? Well, here's my question for you. When did you start going on your own without your mom and your aunt?
Oh, I would go. So it was the same time. So like 17, like in high school, I would go on my own too. I found out it was better for me to go with them because I would get an earful if they found out I went thrifting without them. They were like, what? You didn't let us know? But I really liked it because, and I did it a lot in like going into college too, because I was a broke college student. And so I started thrifting because I was addicted to fast fashion. I would online shop all day. Like, I would spend like 6 hours going through Forever 21's 1,000 new items like every day and like add things to my shopping cart that I would never buy, but I just like wanted to see what's new.
And it's like, there's so much that's always coming up, and the minutes turn into hours, which feel like minutes, and then those hours go and go, which still feel like minutes. How is thrifting in LA for you versus Vegas?
Oh, thrifting in LA, it's interesting because Vegas has really good thrift stores and really good pricing, but LA has, I think they have a better selection of clothes more often, just because the population's so large here that there's always something. But I'm also surprised because I was talking to someone recently and they were asking if the prices at the LA thrift stores were absurd because it's a city. And I found that's not necessarily the case. Like, the prices here are actually really affordable depending on which thrift store you go to. Like, I know you told me about the one we've been trying to go to together, but then COVID shut it down. Yeah, the one where every Sunday everything's a dollar. Is that right?
$1. $1. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. And the thing with that one, I have to just not get too sidetracked, but that place makes me so excited because I have gotten some authentic vintage pieces there that are mind blowing. Some of them, I'm like, this, I don't even know if this was worn. It just feels like the fabrics, the accessories on there don't look worn at all. So it's just the surprise is what I love because you just never know what you're going to bump into, you know? So, but we are going to get to that. We are going to go.
I want to go so badly. Yes. But the thrift stores in LA also, like, LA is huge. Like, I have it in Vegas. I've been to every thrift store in Vegas because Vegas is small. So I've been to every single thrift store. That's a fact, unless something popped up since I last went. But in LA, I swear there's always a new thrift store popping up or a new, you know, or I just discovered something that I never heard of before. And there's a lot going on in this city. So I do appreciate it for that because I feel like if I get sick of going to, you know, my usual thrift store, I just go on Yelp and look up, you know, what's in the next city over. And there might be like 30 thrift stores there. And it's overwhelming, but it's also like amazing.
It is. And the thing is that there's so many different price ranges. Like, I get asked on social media from people that follow, but they're in like different states and they're like, how is it thrifting in LA? Is it expensive? Like the question that you get. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty good. It's great. What I did hear a couple of people say since they ventured out recently, since we've been, you know, dealing with the pandemic and stuff, and that they've definitely noticed the prices have increased in the stores that they regularly visit. And I did venture out once. I was like double masked and my heart was beating so hard because I was like, I don't know if this is worth me being out here. But so I was like in and out. And I did notice that there are some things that are a little bit more expensive. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out if when everything opens back up and everybody's really like free to go, if the prices are going to be different now than they were pre-COVID. Like, are they going to increase the prices just so that they can maintain, you know, or try to continue being open? So what is your... Let's transition into sustainability a little bit. What is your definition of sustainability?
that's hard. I'm like, definitions. Let's see. For me.
Okay. If not definition, then what's your view? What's your take on it?
Okay. Yeah. I was like yes. Definition. That word scares me for some reason. Yes. So my take on sustainability, it's just doing things that will make it so humans will have the longest chance at survival, the planet will have the longest chance at survival, and the animals on the planet as well. So for me, to be sustainable, you have to treat people fairly, right? You have to treat communities fairly, which is not the case in a lot of places, unfortunately. Right. And you have to, you know, treat the planet fairly, and you have to not exploit any of those three things. Don't exploit people, planet, animals. So I like to say the planet and its creatures. I'm like, that's all encompassed in that. And I feel like you cannot be sustainable without acknowledging racism, you know, within the space and all of the intersectionalities of sustainability and like how it affects communities of color specifically, like pollution and all that stuff.
And that's what I wanted to ask you too. Like, how does thrifting and sustainability intersect in from your point of view?
So it's interesting because I'm going to go down a rabbit hole really quick, but it's interesting because I first got into thrifting just because I was a broke college student and that was my way to upkeep my wardrobe to keep up with like my crazy, like fast fashion habits that I quit. I wanted to thrift, but I was thrifting to save money and I never saw it as something that was necessarily sustainable because I was only looking at it as like a budget friendly thing to do. And then with Thrifts and Tangles, I only talked about thrifted fashion and natural hair because I didn't think sustainability made sense. Like I would tell my friends all the time, I want to talk about sustainability. I'm trying to live more sustainably. You know, I switched to reusable, like everything or whatever. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense because I talk about thrifting and natural hair. And they were like, what are you talking about? Like, you can make it work. Yeah, exactly. But in my mind, it made no sense. And I didn't see a lot of people online connecting the two. But then when I started learning more about sustainability, I realized thrifting is one of the most sustainable ways to shop.
Absolutely.
Because it's the items that are end up at the thrift store are given a second chance if you buy it and you extend the lifespan of those items and you help prevent them from eventually maybe ending up in landfill. And that is sustainable. But I don't know why I've never put the two and two together. And also a lot of thrift stores, you know, will give back to the community and help sustain the community with programs like soup kitchens and whatnot. So that's, you know, that in itself is sustainable. So I really had to switch my mindset about thrifting and connect it to sustainability because it all goes together. And it's funny because now that I look back, I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, it made no sense in my head. And now I'm like, it's the perfect combination of everything now. Like, it just makes sense that it goes together.
the thing for me as well, because I started thrifting when I was 9, when I moved to the U.S. And all the years that I was doing it, again, for me, was also because of finances. And then that evolved because I started with my mom as well, who is like a thrifting maniac. And that is something that just became a part of our lives. And then as I got older, then I started like venturing out, and I found it as a space to create my individual style in a lot less expensive way. And I did not connect the two as well, but this had just been a way of life for me. And the way that initially when I got into speaking about styling or speaking about fashion, it was always about being able to have an example or expression of your style without breaking the bank. So I would always say, it's like, you know, be a savvy spender, be an intelligent shopper. That was like the angle and direction that I came from, referencing the world of resale and how wonderful it is and how you can still look so amazing without breaking the bank or without putting yourself in this incredible debt. So as time went on and of recent years, then I realized, you know, because I'm nosy. So I started reading and digging in because I love fashion. I love the ins and outs of it, from creating it all the way up to seeing it worn and the whole design world. And so in reading more with time, realizing, okay, what's going on behind the scenes is very important and it means a lot to me. And also, here it is that what's going on with thrifting and resale is contributing to the benefits and the pros of a lot of the cons that's happening behind the scenes. It's the same thing that happened to me. It was like, as things evolved, then I started realizing the connection, and it's coming from a really genuine place for me because it's been my life. That's all I've known here since I've been in America, is this way of going about things. But what I am happy about, which I'm sure you too, is that we've just been effortlessly contributing to the pros in our doings. But what I think is amazing now is that we've found our voice in this community, and we're able to enlighten other people to make them aware, whether they've tried it or not. So for those people that hear sustainability, because for some people, that is a huge undertaking. When they immediately feel intimidated or scared off, what would you say to them to kind of reduce the common misconceptions of, like, you know, this is an impossible lifestyle, or this is really too much to try to get involved in or commit to?
So it definitely is. The idea of sustainability and switching to a sustainable lifestyle does sound intimidating and hard, right? It's like, how am I supposed to do that? And you feel like you have to get rid of everything you own and start fresh, which is not practical. I would say with my platform in general, I always tell people, give thrifting, sustainability, and their natural selves a chance, because I feel like all three of those things are very scary sounding. And like, it's like, is it really, like, I can't just do that. Like, what's my first step, right? It sounds scary. But my whole thing is, give it a chance. Like, you, I always say, dip your toe in it, like, do one thing that is more sustainable. So if you are used to like using, my fiance and I, we used to eat off paper plates every single day, like every single meal we had paper plates. We had actual like, china to eat off of, but we were just being lazy. We were like, we don't want to wash dishes, blah, blah, blah. And then we realized, I did almost like a trash audit. And I looked at all the things we were throwing away, and the amount of paper plates we threw away in a week, I was like, what are we doing? Like, it makes no sense. And I feel like we were spending more money on buying paper plates than using the china we already own. So I'm like, okay, we need to make a change. And we switched to china, and that simple switch was us becoming more sustainable. So I would tell anyone who's scared to get into sustainability, just maybe do a trash audit, or just take note of your daily habits and what are you spending money on, and figure out where can you cut back? Like, what can you do to cut back? Like, we used to get water bottles all the time, plastic water bottles. And then we actually ended up investing in a refill machine. And because of that, we're saving money in the long run and we're not using so much, you know, wasting over so much plastic water bottles. And it's just simple stuff like that. Or even like I've seen people. So, okay. I have a lot of thoughts going on right now. So I would say, so evaluate, you know, where you can maybe become more sustainable and take it one step at a time. Just focus on one thing. You don't have to switch everything in your life. Just find one way that you could become more sustainable. But also you can get really creative and find ways to use what you already have, because that's the most sustainable thing you can do. So does that mean, you know, they have these bags that are like, they're called stasher bags and they're like reusable Ziploc bags. But if they're kind of expensive, and if you don't want to do that, some people just wash their Ziploc bags and reuse them, you know, and that's something that you could do that is sustainable. Or, you know, using a towel instead of a paper towel, or all these things I like, because I'm like, okay, it saves me money in the long run. So I don't have to buy paper towels anymore. That's great. Like, you know, but it really is like, take one step at a time. And there's a lot of amazing YouTube videos online where you can see like sustainable bathroom, right? And watch those videos. And maybe you don't switch everything, but maybe you switch from a plastic razor to a reusable safety razor, which I did. Yes. And I've saved so much money. I can't tell you the last time I never have to buy a razor ever again. And it came with a pack of 100 razor blades. So I think I'm set for life. So that's pretty
cool. Yeah. And the great thing too is that many of the things that we buy in the grocery store, we can then use them for other things. Like my husband, he loves tomato sauce, and he loves like when we're doing pastas and all of those things. So we're always buying those jars. And what we did is when we're done with them, they're the mason jars. So we use those for like our drinking glasses, and you know, when we want to store things instead of just tossing things away, you can use them and then keep the caps on there. And when you run out, then you just kind of restock. But instead of just like you were mentioning the water, I remember you and I spoke about, I think this was maybe a year ago, you and I were talking about water and the water bottles. And I was like, this is so horrible because you're thinking it's convenient, but there's so many plastic bottles on a weekly basis. So that was one of the things that we did as well, was to stop buying the water bottles and then have the filtered container that we keep in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And so those are things that makes life more sustainable, which isn't an overwhelming adjustment to make. And one of the things that I had to tell myself, because I was in the beginning thinking, oh God, I felt guilty about like looking around and seeing all of the things that are quote unquote horrible in the sustainability community, but trying to get rid of everything at one time can feel overwhelming, but that's not what anyone needs to do. And if that's their thought process, then that probably could be what's scaring them away. Mm-hmm. But once you can start incorporating like one little thing or two things and continue from there, if everyone is doing that, we're already doing such an amazing improvement to every area. You know, it's like to the planet, to our spending, to our outlook on life and just our approach and everything. So it really is something that doesn't have to be overwhelming. But I wanted to find out like your point of view on that, because I know it's something that can feel really intimidating. I wanted to share this with you. The thrifting and sustainability community has grown, or is growing tremendously, and it's actually increasing at a rapid rate. And according to Forbes, when I was reading up some articles, like their quote is resale is exploding. And then according to the New York Times, buying habits are changing. People are becoming more deliberate with their spending, both out of economic necessity and the shift in values. And then according to the Global Data's retail analytics research, which they did last year, the resale market has grown 21 times faster than the retail market, which we know. And that was just over a 3-year period. And we know that retail has been suffering so much. So to see that the resale industry is actually growing so much. I did a show about 3 years ago on this, how much it was growing. So for me to come back over the stats now and see that, oh my God, it really has grown so much. And then based on the 2020 resale report, the traditional thrifting market, because you have like the resale market, which includes every area, which is like vintage, consignment, and all that stuff. But the traditional thrifting market has an estimated 5-year growth projection, and it's going to jump from $21 billion is where we are currently. And they're projecting that aspect of the resale industry to jump up to $28 billion. So to me, I'm like, that's so huge that it's growing that fast when the other areas are suffering. So that's encouraging to me, because I'm like, well, if the numbers are growing, that means more people are becoming a part of it. And these industries, these stats are reflecting the major growth in dollars. So with you, are you personally seeing an increase in people within the thrifting and sustainability community? Do you feel like it's growing in a way that you can actually see it as you're moving through social media and just out and about?
Yes, definitely. I love fashion bloggers. I've been following fashion bloggers like since like, yeah. But a lot of them who were originally a lot of them who were originally promoting a lot of these fast fashion companies have made the transition into, you know, ethical fashion, or they even share thrifting, and they might still share fast fashion, but they're introducing their audiences that into, you know, give thrifting a try, or you know, try out these ethical brands, which is something I never saw, you know, however many years ago. In my personal life, a lot of my friends didn't know how bad fast fashion was for like the environment and whatnot. So they will tell me, you know, I went to the thrift store before I went to the mall. I tried to get, like, Halloween's coming up, right? So I don't know if people are doing Halloween this year, but last Halloween, my friend sent me a text message, and she sent me a picture, and she was at Savers, and she's like, I'm going to get my Halloween costume from Savers this year. And I was, you know, it's just really cool to see that people are realizing that the thrift store is, I mean, the items that you bought from the mall end up at the thrift store. So it's still really good pieces. And sometimes you still find items that are new at tags. And I think more people are realizing that. And I think that's also why, when you said earlier, you noticed the prices are kind of skyrocketing. I think the thrift stores, some of the bigger thrift stores notice that, and they know they can charge a higher amount for certain items, which I don't necessarily agree with. And there's also the company ThredUp. They're an online thrift store. They've been teaming up with, I think they teamed up with JCPenney's, Walmart, and Nordstrom's, where they're going to be selling, like having a secondhand section in those stores, which I've been, like, a department store would never sell secondhand, you know, however many years ago. So
they would feel like it's going against their main focus from the beginning, is what I would think. There was actually one of the department stores just the other day that experimented for a short period of time. I can't remember if it's Nordstrom's or I don't want to say the wrong name, but they did it just for a period of time where they had that section that was specifically resale, you know, and so they experimented on that. And I know that this is something that a lot of other major corporations and stores are looking into. It's wonderful that the recognition is there and that they're becoming more aware, but I'm kind of side-eyeing it a little bit because I'm thinking they're looking at it more from a numbers point of view, especially with the stats that I just
mentioned,
it's growing tremendously. And the regular retail market it's diminishing. So many stores have closed. So I'm wondering if there's like sincerity to them now taking this on, or if they're just like, we need to get some of those dollars, and that's where it's coming from. So I'm a little like, I'm going to watch you over here for a minute.
Me too.
It's, you know, you gotta watch them, because there's so much like greenwashing and all of that stuff that's going on. So, you know, when they do that, you're now wondering, are they just wanting some of the money? Are they going to price it higher than a regular thrift store? Are they going to do it in a way where they start knocking business off of the regular thrift stores, which mm-hmm. are giving back to the community, like you said? So I don't know. On that one, I'm watching to see. I think we've been duped a number of times with intentions in these mm-hmm. big corporations. I'm like watching a little bit, but there is this creation that you made. It's called Take a Chance Thursday, and it includes 3 hashtags. And this is something that you have started so that your followers can participate. So tell us a little bit about Take a Chance Thursday. What prompted you to start it? And also, what are the hashtags?
Yeah. So, okay. I love seeing when my community goes thrifting and they'll mm-hmm. DM me and be like, oh, I just got this at the thrift store. And I'm like, they were sending it to me pretty often. And I'm like, can I share this to my stories? And they usually would say yes. But mm-hmm. normally, you know, I would see it. And then if I remembered to, I'm not the best on like keeping up with my stories. I would repost it to my stories, but I'm like, this is such an amazing thing. And I think everyone in this community should be able to see, you know, what everyone, you know, got from the thrift store or whatever it may be. And just really, I wanted to build more of a community than I already have. And so I figured every Thursday is going to be Take a Chance Thursday. And what I do is I encourage my community and anyone not in the community yet, you're welcome to use it as well. But the hashtags are give thrifting a chance, give sustainability a chance, and give natural self a chance, your natural self mm-hmm. a chance.
Give natural self.
Yeah. I should know my hashtags, but apparently I don't.
It's give natural self a chance. Yes. Oh, I'm actually going to include this in the show write-up and when I post it on the website, shazon.com, so that mm-hmm. they can actually go and see and participate in it as well. So if you guys don't remember what exactly we're saying right now in terms of the hashtags and some of the other details, I'm mm-hmm. going to include that with the show write-up. So don't panic if you're driving. I don't know where you are while you're listening. I will take care of you. I will have all of this information.
Because I was like, I don't even know my hashtag. So I don't expect anyone to remember. Yes, thank you. Thanks for clarifying. Because I was like, what is it? But the whole, it's amazing because I think by, first of all, I posted that and didn't think anyone was going to use the hashtags because I used it myself. I thought it would just be me. And the first week, people started sharing their thrift finds and sharing their little sustainable swaps and sharing them without makeup. And mm-hmm. I was really shocked to see that this is something that people were excited about because I'm excited about it too. So I was thrilled that it's actually creating community. And by searching those hashtags, I think that seeing what other people got from the thrift store or seeing what other things people are doing to be more sustainable makes it easier for you to become more sustainable. Cause you're like, hey, this person switched their plastic bag to a reusable bag. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could do that. And it just, you know, opens up the discussion a lot more. And it's beyond me now, right? Like I can only say so much. So now the community is interacting with each other and that's all I can ask for.
Yeah. Because what happens is a lot of people will be curious about it, but then they don't know where to start or they don't know what to do. They have no idea like, okay, so that helps me. I can use one of my sauce jars as mm-hmm. cups instead of using the disposable cups all the time. I can switch to, you know, the water filtering container instead of all of these water bottles that we have all the time. And I'm a mom. So seeing all of the water bottles, just going to vent for 2 seconds, all of the water bottles from everybody that was drinking in the house, just like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. it was so crazy that we were accumulating so much garbage just from this at the end of the week, because we drink a lot of water. We don't do sodas and stuff. So mm-hmm. those things that you're doing, it allows other people to get a visual of not only what they can be doing, but then also like, hey, I didn't know you could get that at a thrift store, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of piques the interest and shows them that it really is doable. And one of the highlights for me with thrifting is whenever I'm able to like go somewhere and I know my outfit is just $5, or I'm at, which I've done, I've gone to like industry events, and it just tickles me so much that I'm like, I am in a dress that's like less than $10. As a matter of fact, this is a gown.
That's awesome.
And just knowing that you're able to do this and still express your style is a huge plus for me. You're helping the environment, you're saving money, you're still able to express your unique style because everything in there is one of, unless mm-hmm. they have that grouping of things that you might see that will come in from the other stores that will donate to the thrift stores. And then, like you said earlier, many of the things have the tags on there. And that is what I call like a huge score. Those are like major scores for me when the new tags are still on there. But what are some of the pros and, well, there are many pros and cons to thrifting, but mm-hmm. what are some of the pros for you?
For me, the pros are, like you said, I love being like, if someone compliments my outfit, I'm like, oh, it was only $5. Or, you know, I love that aspect. I love, like you said, everything in there is unique. You can really play around with style a little bit more, or even play around with trends. Because it's not, you know, breaking the bank, you can try, you know, a look that might be outside of your comfort zone a little bit. I love, like, in Vegas, I used to go thrifting a lot. So mm-hmm. I was able to build relationships with the workers and, you know, get like the inside scoop of thrifting. And I feel like the thrift stores are interesting because it's not like a normal store, right? They get very unique inventory. So if once you get yes. to know the workers, once they know your style, they'll be able to bring you clothes that match your style or mm-hmm. tell you, yeah. you know, we just got this super rare, I don't know, record player in, like, you could be the first to get it. And like, there's just a sense of community that I never had, like going to the mall, like even like with the workers, obviously, like they were, you know, super sweet and, you know, bringing me clothes and whatnot. But then mm-hmm. you see other people who are into thrifting and, you know, the shoppers. And I've had it where I've been at the thrift store, never met people in the day of my life. It's a total stranger. They'll come up to me and be like, hey, I thought this would look cute on you. Do you want this? And normally it's something I would like. And I'm like, yes, please. And then it starts, you know, you start talking. And then next thing you know, you're thrifting with this person who you just met. And it's so much fun. So, and it's just an experience. It's like a treasure hunt every single time you go, which is why I love it. And then, of course, you know, it was me, you, True Low Style, Savannah, and then Stephanie. We all went thrifting that one day, and it was just a big, like, we went to the Goodwill bins, and it was like, it was so much fun. Like,
yes.
Oh, I just love it. And I love seeing the, you know, the special finds that someone else got, or it's just a really amazing community that I've never gotten anywhere else. And yes. I'm really grateful for it.
I definitely agree with you on that. I always say there's a high in the hunt and a thrill in the find. So it's like the highs and the thrills are just irreplaceable. I mm-hmm. really feel that way too, where it's like, oh my gosh, I know when I get to the car, I'm like, do not put this in the trunk. This is going on the front seat with me, because more than likely before I even drive off, I have to go back through the bag just to look at everything that I just got. Or if it's in the trunk, then I end up like pulling the things out before I drive off because I'm like so excited. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for someone who would like to start thrifting, but they feel a bit intimidated or overwhelmed by the idea?
I would say the best thing you can do is figure out your style. So for me, what I had to do was I created a Pinterest board and started saving anything that caught my eye on Pinterest. And then I went through and kind of analyzed the board to see what did the items have most in common to kind mm-hmm. of determine my style. So I discovered I like stripes, I like florals, I like certain textures, certain colors, certain fits. And that way, now that I know my style, thanks to Pinterest, when I go to the thrift store, I'm able to seek out those pieces specifically. So mm-hmm. thrifting is very overwhelming. So depending on which store you go to, it's like you walk in, you're like, where do I start? What do I do? But if you have an idea of like what style you're going for, or even like, let's say you go and you are wanting to get a dress, like you can immediately go to the dress section and you don't have to dig through the racks. You can just slow. Yeah. What I do is I slowly walk down the aisles and I like just eyeball everything until I see, mm-hmm. oh, that's floral. Let me see what that looks like. And like, I look for those things that I know matches my style. I feel like that makes it a lot less overwhelming. And then also having an idea of what you want a little bit. Thrifting, yes, is a treasure hunt, but it's easier if you go in with something in mind.
And yes, it is.
You might not necessarily find that item, which can get frustrating, but it definitely makes it so you don't have to take the thrift store on as a whole. You could break it down into sections.
Definitely. The way that you look out for your stripes and your florals, I'm a fabric texture person. Mm-hmm. So I do the same thing. I'm like, it's the art of the scan. Yes. And so I'm like, major scanning is going on, but I'm actually looking at the fabrics and I'm looking at prints as well. I'm so in love with colors and I love when a lot of colors are all mixed up together on one piece of fabric. I'm like, so one of the things for me is the textures of the fabrics are a big indicator to me as to what item is going to last a long time. You can feel if something is more sturdy, the quality of it, if it's supposed to be like a stretch shirt, is it something that is snapping back when you know, is it durable? So those are some of the things that I look for, is the quality of the fabric and the feel of it as well. I use my fingers a lot, which right now is why I just kind of like scanned when I went the last time, because I was like, I don't want to touch too many things. But that is one of the things that I think is brilliant that you said, is go with an idea, especially if you're going for the first time or if it's new for you. Mm-hmm. Go with some kind of, okay, I'm going to look for jeans, or I want to find some tops for work or for going out. It kind of narrows it down, because for those that are listening that have never been into the thrift stores and feel that it is overwhelming, one thing about the thrift stores is that they are sectioned off into styles and the type of garment that you will have there in the store. It might not be sized like smalls. It's not grouped in sizes, but they do have it sectioned off like dresses and pants and shirts and nightgowns. And so if you go in with an idea like that, it does help to cut down what could feel very overwhelming. And trends now are like fleeting fads, and companies and designers have gone from releasing new collections to the masses seasonally. That used to be good enough with our two major shows each year, but now it's gone to producing and releasing like ready-to-wear styles on a weekly basis. And some people now view clothes as disposable, especially because of how inexpensive they can be in the fast fashion world. And it's really easy to just buy new for a buck or two. According to the Daily Mail, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a study that was done on 2,000 women, and it found that most clothes are worn only 7 times.
Oh my goodness.
And that Instagram and Facebook are hugely influencing that concept with those same people. That was their feedback, because some people don't want to be pictured in the same pieces twice. And they also consider clothes old after like a handful of wears. And those who were more specific on what a handful was like 3 times. If I've worn it 3 times, they figure it's old. I'm either going to leave it in my closet, I'm going to toss it, or I'm going to donate it. So this is a culture that has been adapted, which we all can see, which is unfortunate. And it's called the wear it once culture. And it's mind blowing when you actually like stop for a second and realize that's pretty crazy, because if we're all buying and consuming so much, and that's the outlook where it's like, okay, 3 times and it's out of here. With that thought process in mind, in the relationship with fashion, we're doing like egregious harm to the planet. Mm-hmm. And how are we affecting the planet by shopping secondhand? What is your input on that?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm like still processing the stats that you just gave. That's so concerning and like heartbreaking. Yeah. And it is. I see a lot of people who are like, you know, I already wore it on the gram. Can't wear it again. And it's like, yeah. What? Yes.
No repeaters. They're like, yes. I won't repeat anything.
Uh-huh. Yes. And it's so sad to see because that's not sustainable at all. That's so wasteful. And it becomes such a problem because, you know, bundles and bundles. I did a behind the scenes tour of Savers Thrift Store, mm-hmm. and they showed what items end up getting recycled, what items end up getting bundled off and sent off to developing countries. And like the amount of clothes that get sent overseas is very concerning. Yeah. And that was just, you know, one thrift store out of, you know, hundreds of thousands. So yeah. Yes. And it's crazy. And they actually, three of the countries that they were America was shipping clothes off to actually boycotted receiving shipments, and there was a whole drama with, like, I think it was three countries in Africa. They mm-hmm. were saying, we're not going to accept your secondhand bundles anymore. And so basically the problems that we, you know, the items that we are shipping away to become someone else's problems are going to be our own problems because other countries are fed up with us, you know. Exactly. That's why thrifting is amazing. So by thrifting, you are keeping items out of the landfill. You're extending the lifespan of the item because that item is, like I said earlier, it's giving that item a second chance. And also mm-hmm. you're not driving demand to create any new items. So mm-hmm. when you shop at one of those fast fashion stores, if you buy an item, you know, they look at the data and they're like, okay, people liked this item. Let's make more of it. So
yes.
when you buy from a secondhand store, you're not telling them, they don't have data to collect on you to say, we need to make more. So nothing mm-hmm. new is being created. And it's interesting because a lot of fast fashion companies, they keep their costs so low because
yeah.
they're not paying workers fairly. They are usually cutting costs by dyeing their clothes with like toxic chemicals, not properly mm-hmm. disposing of the chemicals. So they're like polluting water sources. And it, yep. I forgot how many gallons of water it takes to make like one t-shirt. I think it's like 7,000. It's like a crazy amount. And so by shopping secondhand, there's no need to create any new items and no resources are being used to create anything new and to harm the environment or, you know, exploit people, which is amazing.
It's some of these places, again, these are the things that get me hot and bothered, let's say. It's like when you find out that the people who are making these clothes are making less than $3 a day in the other countries like Bangladesh. And when you find out how they have to live, they're not even making enough money to survive on the basic. They're already poor. The monies mm-hmm. that they're making, it's not even enough to keep them at a level functioning with mm-hmm. like food and their basic expenses and stuff like that. And the conditions that they have to work under and these moms and stuff. And when mm-hmm. I read these things, I'm like always crying. When I'm watching these things, mm-hmm. I'm like always crying because this is the reality. And this is now the awareness of what is really going on behind the garments that we're wearing. And I love fashion, like I said before, but I can't just love fashion and know this now and not want to make a change in the fashion industry, because mm-hmm. even what's happening is they need jobs. But just because someone needs a job, that doesn't mean that you take advantage of them and give them mere bones mm-hmm. that they can't even survive off of. And what they are getting, they can't afford to not get because things are already so bad. And now with this love that I have for fashion, I'm also now so connected to the layers behind fashion and wanting people to be more aware, because we all can collectively make a change in our actions in the thrifting community and becoming more aware of fast fashion. And the awareness and empathy is so important. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on today, because when we met, I realized our love for thrifting was also connecting with, you know, there's more to it. How mm-hmm. are we contributing to this? How can we enlighten others about it? Back then, I know I just like ran off, but my heart is like, oh, I need to do something about this. But okay, let's end on a happy note. I want to play a quick game.
Okay.
Yes, I want to play a quick game. It's called Thrift Trivia. And are you up for that?
Yes, I'm nervous.
Okay, so here we go. In the U.S., what percentage of clothes ends up in the landfill? Is it 63%, 45%, or 84%?
I want to say it's 84%.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, okay. Okay.
That's a lot. Wow.
How many years does it take for clothes to break down in the landfills? Is it 170 years? Is it 50 years? Or is it 200 years?
Okay, it's not 50. We're gonna do that. And I'm like, let's do 50-50 now. I kind of want to say once. I think it's 200.
Ding, ding, ding. It is 200. Okay. Okay. Are you sweating? Two more to go.
Yeah.
Two more.
I'm like, okay. I have to show that I know thrifting. I have to show I'm an expert. Oh, boy.
Okay. What percentage of our donated clothes actually ends up being sold in the secondhand store? Is it 70%, 40%, or 10%?
That one's hard. Actually sold in the secondhand store. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, okay, we're going to get rid of 70. I don't think 70 is right. Mm-hmm. 10 or 40. I'm going to say 10.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. Oh my gosh.
The confidence in my answers.
Okay. All right. So what does it mean when a thrift store says blue is a color of the day? Is everything blue in the store on sale? Are all the tags in the store blue, or are all blue tags in the store on that day 50% off?
Wait, what was the first option?
The first option is everything blue in the store on sale. Is everything blue in the store on sale? Second option.
Oh, okay.
Are all the tags?
It's the blue tags. The blue tags are on sale.
Okay, so the blue tags are 50% off. Yes, that's what it means.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I was like, oh. Oh, man, those are hard.
But you know what's so crazy is that the questions, the results from it, it's like 84% of our stuff ends up in a landfill. And then it takes 200 years for our things to actually break down in a landfill. And then when all of these donations come into the stores, the thrift stores, only 10% of it is actually being sold. And then it's being filtered out to other places, or it's going to end up in a landfill, or it's going to end up in the other countries. And like we were talking about before. So one of the highlights for people who are going to be going and thrifting, hopefully for the very first time, is that if you do go into the store and they say the color of the day is, it just means that whenever you find an item with that tag color, the tag is the actual color of whatever they're mentioning, then it means that it's 50% off or whatever percentage they have going on that day. So we want to make sure that you get some tips, some good ones.
And yes, always thrift on a sale day if you can, because that's when you get the best discount.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing I wanted to ask you, though, when you did the tour behind the scenes at Savers and you went behind those big double doors that when we're thrifting, we're waiting for them to open to come out with new stuff. But you went behind those double doors. What was the most surprising thing that you were able to find out from the manager that gave you the tour?
I think the most surprising thing was they recycle a lot of the clothes when they can. Like if you give something to savers that's a little bit raggedy, mm-hmm. They're not going to put it out on the floor to sell, obviously. But they're able to. They're teamed up with a program who they convert those items into the stuff to make playground like turf. I don't know what it's called.
Wow. Like the rubber. It's not yes. rubber. There's like a certain texture to it. Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know what it. I don't know what they call it, but yeah, it's like. So your clothes can turn into be up recycled into stuff like that for like playground, you know, rubber. And I thought that was really interesting because a lot of the times I would throw out my old items that had holes and stuff. I'm like, I can't give this to a thrift store. It's not in good condition. But if you research, you know, your local thrift store, some of them have programs where they will take your rags and, you know, do something great with them, which was really interesting to hear about.
Huh. I definitely learned something major with that because many times when I'm looking at things to give to the thrift store, I'm like, this is too worn. Like this can't be, but just in knowing that if you do end up going somewhere that's a program that they may be a part of, that is a huge comfort as well, instead of putting it in the garbage because it's immediately going to end up in the landfill, and the gases that come off of the landfill is so dangerous for us too. So it's like a domino effect in so many areas. One of the other things too is back in the days, way back, what used to happen is like with clothes when they became old, what people used to do is they would tear it up or cut it up, but they used it to stuff furniture.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's what they used to use. So that was another thing that I found that was really, really interesting. You've been absolutely amazing, Tyler. Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for having me. I'm still, like, stressed out from that quiz.
Oh, my God. It's only four questions and you did perfect.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me. God. This was so much fun.
It was such a pleasure. But please let everyone know where they can find you, your website and social media, so they can follow along with you.
Yeah, so you can find me at thriftsandtangles.com. That's my blog. I'm on YouTube and Instagram as well under Thrifts and Tangles. And I think that's everywhere where I live online.
Will you come back soon? I think there are so many other great topics that you and I can really dig into. Like I had to reel myself back on some of the other topics that I know we can like really get down and dirty with. So on the skinny, it's all about getting to the nitty gritty. So I would love it if you would come back. I hope that's something that you will do.
Yes, I would love to be back. I could talk to you all day. You're one of my favorite people.
Oh, thank you. Well, head to Tyler's website, thrifts with an S and tangles.com, for a free guide that she has put together. And it's called Thrifting Like a Pro, and it's downloadable. So once you go to her website, you'll see her pop-up window comes up and you can go ahead, sign up. I believe it's with your email address, and then you have access to download this free guide. So if this is something that has been a bit overwhelming for you, she has everything just easily laid out. It's like a chart. Trust me, it will help you at least break it down a little bit more for you. So that, my loves, is a wrap on this episode of The Brilliance of Thrifting and the connection to sustainability. And of course, it's amazing community that's growing. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, review, and share The Skinny with others. Let us know your thoughts, takeaways, and give your feedback on moments that stood out to you. It's truly important to us as we continue to grow and evolve. And I love this community and I would love to see it expand more and so we can do more. So if there are any topics or guests that you'd like to hear on the show, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. You can always find us at our main portal, shazon.com, for all the goodies and latest updates on the show. Head over to Instagram and follow The Skinny Podcast, and that's SKINNI Podcast. And for a peek inside the life of the voice behind the mic, follow at Shayzon. That's SHAY, Z as in zebra, O, N as in Nancy. You've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shayzon. Thank you so much for sharing your time and light with me in this space where we are all heard, seen, valued, and loved. Never forget, you are beautiful. and deserve to live a happy and empowered life. Meet you back here for next week's episode. Bye, honey bunnies.